you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples set out for the villages of Caesarea Philippi. Along the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said to him in reply, "You are the Christ." Then he warned them not to tell anyone about him. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer greatly, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days, rise. He spoke this openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. At this, he turned around and, looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." He summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, and whoever wishes to lose his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it." The Gospel of the Lord. In our gospel today, Peter doesn't know when to quit. He should have stopped when he was ahead. When Jesus asked his disciples who they thought that he was, it was Peter alone who blurted out, "You are the Christ, the long-awaited Messiah." But when Jesus began to tell them what this really meant to be the Christ, suffering, rejection, and death, that was too much for Peter. The gospel says he took Jesus aside as if to say to him, "Listen, old buddy, don't talk like that. Nobody wants to hear this doom and tomb stuff. You're the Christ. Keep it positive." But that's when Jesus turned on him, even called Peter by the name of his biggest enemy, Satan, and told Peter to get in line behind him and follow him. And he told the rest of us to do the same thing. That holds right up to today. These days, the church is carrying a heavy cross. And I think Jesus is telling us that the best way to carry it is to carry it and not deny it like Peter did. That's what Father Ronald Rollheiser was telling us in a recent edition of our diocesan magazine, Angelus. He wrote, "Sometimes all you can do is put your mouth to the dust and wait." That quote about putting our mouth to the dust and waiting is from the Book of Lamentations. It's about accepting the humiliation. It's about accepting the cross. It's about carrying the cross with the church as Christ carried it. It's about acknowledging that the cross never seems to go away. It's about putting our mouth to the dust and waiting. What are we waiting for? We're waiting for those five little words that Jesus said in the gospel, but Peter and the other disciples, and maybe not we either, don't seem to hear. Those five little words are, "And rise after 3 days." The resurrection. That would change everything and make the cross a symbol of victory and not of demoralizing defeat. We have to remember that the resurrection was given to the church and to each one of us when our mouth is in the dust. About 5 years ago, my cousin Tim and his wife Jolene were awakened in the middle of the night by a phone call that said that their 16-year-old daughter, Caitlin, was in an accident and they should come quickly. When they reached the scene of the accident, they learned that Caitlin was among nine teenagers in a car during a sleepover. And when the young driver of the car went over 100 miles an hour trying to jump a hill in Wisconsin countryside, she lost control and the car tumbled over a couple times. When they rushed to the hospital, they found that Caitlin and two other girls were dead. They were devastated. I saw both of them last summer when I was back in Wisconsin. Tim and Jelaine are still struggling with the death of Caitlin. That's one of the hardest things a parent has to do, to suffer the loss of a son or a daughter. For a while, they too had put their mouths in the dust and waited. But in the grieving process, my cousin Tim found that men do not grieve the same way that women do. So he formed a little group of other fathers who had lost a son and a daughter to support each other. They meet almost every week in Wisconsin, actually in a pizza place that's named after the child of one of the fathers who lost him. I've been meeting with them every year now for the last 5 years or so when I go back to Wisconsin, and I have learned so much from them. There's no dust, no bitterness in their mouths. They're men of uncomplicated and honest faith who keep alive the memories of their dead sons and daughters because it gives them strength, and they share that strength with others. They bristle if you tell them their children are in a better place, because for them, a better place would be back there with them. But they accept the cross that has been given them because they believe in the resurrection. They believe they will see their sons and daughters again. But they don't just wait for it, they work for it and try to make this world a better place. And so must we. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, here at Holy Family, at this Mass, at communion time, a young man came forward with the rest of him and waited about 5 feet from me. I thought he wanted a blessing, but as I was about to bless him, he said to me, "You're a hypocrite." And before I could notice it, what he said, he was gone. I kept giving a communion, but inward, I was a little stunned and dismayed and disheartened. The days after that, I kept thinking what I might have said to this young man. And then I read Father Rollheiser's article. His advice: sometimes all you can do is put your mouth to the dust and wait. That's what I did. But we can't wait too long. We have to get up and carry the cross again and work to help those survivors of abuse and work to prevent it from ever happening again. Each one of us carries some kind of a cross. It varies in shape and size and form according to our measurements. So today's gospel is a welcome reminder that it says there was not a Christ without a cross. And it reminds us that there will never be a cross without Christ. There will never be a death without resurrection. That's what we celebrate in each Eucharist. That's what we say at the consecration: "Save us, Savior of the world. For by your cross and resurrection, you have set us free. Free to put our mouth to the dust and wait. And then get up and carry the cross again." Amen.